PD8DX2 testing on the way. PD8DX2 clear on the way.
W8FU. This is WAFU testing 1, 2, 3.
W8FU. This is KFADBZ. I read you 5x9. How am I coming across?
KPR test 1, 2. Is it showing up on the display?
KAPR, this is KFADBZ. I hear you just fine. Read you 5x9.
KPR, sorry, I have the volume down too low. Go again.
This is KFADBZ. I read you 5x9. You're coming across just fine. How's this one doing? It's a brand new rig, too.
Yeah, very good. You're coming through fine, Cliff. So, this is a Minitone 890, and I brought over a code plug from the 898, and apparently something got screwed up with the top group, so I got to re-figure that out.
Yeah, I copy that. This is a Radiodity DB40D that I'm playing with. Picked it up on sale. I'm like, yeah, what the heck? And yeah, I ran into a lot of that same issue working on the code plug. I get everything set up, loaded into the radio, and stuff wouldn't work right.
Yeah, it's not for the faint of heart, that's for sure. All right, this is your breakfast with lunch, guys. Thanks for coming back to me. 7-3, this is KPR.
Anytime and no problem. I enjoy the company. KFADBZ monitoring.
WAPD. Anybody hear me?
KFADBZ. I did just copy you.
All right. I don't know what to do with this. I'm just going to leave it. If it seems to be working, I guess I'm just going to leave it alone.
Yeah, at this point, that's about what I would do, is I would just leave it alone. Maybe it's just releasing some of its digital information badly over to the servers and stuff like that. But as long as it's letting them talk, I think that's the important thing.
That was kind of my other theory. I was going to go to the Lance Cruz field day, maybe a little bit later. Let's just a lot closer to the repeater and see if maybe it starts working when I get a little closer. I thought maybe just bad signal from out here in Baltimore. But anyways, I appreciate all the help. 7-3. I'll talk to you later. I'm going to KFP.
Anytime, Joe. Happy to help. KFADBZ. Clear and monitoring. 73 to your help.
Have him try changing talk group. Go into the menu, select talk group, then select number 3, manual dial 51, and then see if it changes, and then see the radio, and then see if it changes. If it does, have them change the channel again back and forth with the channel knob and see if it comes up right or wrong.
How did you try switching over to talk?
KFADBZ testing. Still the same error, Joe.
WABD.
WABD mobile.
KD8, Reaper Duo, Salem 1, pump under the.
Good, who's this? Sorry, you didn't ID WABD.
I tried ID, I don't know if I'm getting in. It's KEAWUO, John. out walking the dogs, freezing my buns off.
Yeah, it's well, my truck is idling here. She had to run into coals. It's a nice 9 degrees right now where I'm at. Of course, I think some of that is the engine heat, so I got it set at 1,000 RPMs trying to keep up. So, yeah, it wouldn't start this morning. My diesel pick-em-up truck said, no way. I actually had to go grab one of the jump packs and help it along. I'm starting to wonder if I don't have a bad battery.
Gotcha, yeah. I know diesels can be fun to start in the winter. I always see people videos of people starting fires under their truck to warm up the gas to get it broke loose or whatever. But, it sounds like you got it running, so that's good. But, I don't think my truck wanted to start this morning either.
I lost about the second half of that. But, yeah, I think a lot of them had a tough time starting. I saw wreckers, couple, three wreckers in our subdivision this morning. So, but, yeah, the truck is 5 years old now, so I'm willing to bet it's probably got a battery that's faded. So I'll go have the batteries tested and find out which one it is. I don't know, really think it matters. I'll just replace them both. This thing's supposed to be good to start to about 20 below on its own. So, but it didn't do it. So, but she's running now and all is good. I did talk to Freddie yesterday about, you know, our project. And I got a little bit more direction on it, and I found out the one that's the accepted standard. I'll email you over it. It's a A3XYL or something like that, website, something of that nature, A3, whatever. I'll send it to you. That's the box. That way you can use the wireline card, which is B.24, and then we can convert it over to something more internet-friendly. So, but I think that's the direction everybody's going. I did turn my hotspot back on at home. I wanted to talk to the guys in Georgia, see how they were doing it too. But the old ways with Cisco routers and all sorts of programming, it was pretty complicated. I don't want to say complicated. There was a lot to it. And this way here, it should be simpler. So studying, moving slowly, you know, but we'll get there.
Okay, gotcha. Well, hopefully I'm getting in a little better now. But, I did some research as well, and so hopefully when all the bits and bobs get together, we'll be able to get our heads together and figure it out. So it should be an interesting project, and I look forward to it. And the AX3... I forget what it's called, too, but I know what you're talking about. It's, I believe, a pretty common standard. So, yeah, if we can get some hardware to get into that, then it should be quite a bit easier.
Yeah, well, the original board was, they call it wireline, and the original board, because of its date, those things were all designed for phone lines. You know, so 4-wire, 8-wire, blah, blah, blah. So one company makes a board that you can take the wire line out, put in another board, and automatically have an IP-type thing. That was crazy freaking money. And then you could use the old board and just take that technology and turn it into a newer technology. And with the little device, and the little device is only like $40. So I think we're leaning towards the $40 solution, and then either a Pi or a small Linux box to carry it from there. So far, I'm not saying that's the answer, but today it's what's on the top of the list. And it sounds to me like you found the same spot.
Yeah, I think the, you know, as far as taking the old connection, you know, the phone line style connection and converting that over to, a newer, more accepted, widely used mode is probably the trick. But there is, from what I saw and from what you probably saw, two different ways to do that. And, we'll definitely want to go the cheaper route. Because why not? You know, it does the same thing. But yeah, I think that little box I found or the board you found, any one of those should be able to do that. And then from there, it's just a little bit of programming and, you know, pointing at the right, you know, IP or, you know, the right location. And so it shouldn't be too terribly hard, hopefully. I don't want to, you know, jinx us because, you know, we'll probably spend months trying to figure it out with my luck. But yeah, this is going to be a fun project. I look forward to that. And hopefully we can get on to the Georgia and, you know, all those different little spots, whatever you call it, talk groups, I guess. But, well, very cool. K-E-A-W-U-O.
Yeah, W-A-V-D. Yeah, we'll get there. Like I said, and that's part of the fun, you know. It's not always about talking. It's about how do they do that and, you know, and can I do that? And then, you know, you spend months figuring it out all on your own. You get the T-shirt, and then the next time you do one, you have it done in 5 minutes. So, yeah, this would be kind of cool. I do know that there's some challenges I'll talk to you about privately on that we'll have to address as well. And, but like I said, it's all just conceptual right now. So it'd be good. So you guys got, I was supposed to go down there with Sean at breakfast with him this morning, but there was no way I was leaving the house at 8 below. I mean, the truck wouldn't start when it got above zero. I'm sure it wasn't going to start, you know, at below zero. I just knew it wasn't going to go, so I just, whatever. But like I said, I'm going to get some, I'll get the batteries checked. We got a capacitance tester at the office for checking batteries. I might go there and uncheck it, so... I mean, that's going to cost a few bucks because they're big and there's two of them.
Yeah, batteries aren't cheap, and it's real fun when you need crew. It's the only downside to these bigger vehicles. My truck had two. The new truck has two. It is really nice to have, but yeah. Well, very good. Yeah, I look forward to talking more on this, and... I kind of like some of what Sean was talking about last night with, some all-star nodes where you can kind of use, I guess it was Thursday. Not... Or something like that, but very good, cool. Hopefully I'm...
No, it's all right. I lost you after all-star nodes, but we can chat later on the phone. Wade was coming, so... I'm going to step out anyway. So have fun walking your dogs. Keep warm, keep moving, you know, all that fun stuff. So we'll chat a little later. W8BD, Claire Pierce.
73, sir. Have a good one. K-E-A-W-U-O.
What's going on, Mitchell? Were you coming back to me? K-E-A-R-U-H?
No, sir. I was carrying the pizza and I hit P. Sorry about that.
N-A-B-Z-R monitoring. Statewide 1.
This is QO Foxtrot 8, Echo Tango, Quebec. Anyone there?
K-E-A-W-U-O. How'd your day go, Darren?
It went great. They signed me up for a little bit of manual labor on my way out, a little bit of sweeping with a dustpan and all that, but outside of that, it was great.
Gotcha. Okay, well, good. I'm glad. I'm glad you had fun, and sometimes you do got to do a little bit of, you don't have to, but it's mighty nice that you were willing to and able to help them out. You were there for a pretty long day since noon, so 6.5 hours. That's a good shift. What What's your major takeaways for the day? I don't really have any major takeaways from the day. I was chatting with Mike for majority of it, a little bit about Odds and Ends radio stuff. He was trying to tell me and explain how the spiderweb style antenna thing is really, really good. And it has three different dipoles on three different bands altogether.
Gotcha. Yeah, that sounds really interesting. I actually never really had that on my radar. So, spiderweb antenna. I assume, is that VHF, UHF? Or is that HF?
I'm calling it a spiderweb. There is a proper spiderweb antenna. This is not it. It's basically a bunch of, like, three dipoles hanging beneath each other. You have the giant one at the, on the top that's, like, let's just say, your 40-meter antenna. Then you have a 20-meter antenna under it, and you have a 10-meter antenna under that. In reality, it's probably a little bit more of a variety of different bands than just ones that could be scaled up from the others. But it takes up a bunch of space. There is a proper spiderweb antenna, and I don't remember much about that one, though.
Gotcha, okay. Interesting. Yeah, so that sounds, yeah, it seems like any HF antenna takes up a fair amount of space unless it's, like, you know, coiled in some way. Verticals are good for that. That's kind of why I like the idea of a vertical for just kind of getting on the air and, you know, not having to bring throw weights and rope, and, you know, it's a little bit more forgiving, but a little bit more tedious. A spider web sounds like it would be really cool, especially if you have the space. You know, those would be awesome if you could put it up there and leave it up in, like, your backyard and then just use it all the time. That would be awesome. But I have, like, no good spots in my yard.
Remembering what I thought I understood from your property, it's kind of a small property with a driveway between one house and the next house with barely any space to do any fun radio stuff. And you probably don't have much of a backyard, if I were to give a good guess. Does that sound about right?
Yes, it does. Sounds about exactly right. You know, there's a lot of different ways to get an HF antenna up in that yard. You know, you can do stuff in the roof. You can make gutter dipoles. There's all kinds of things that I could do with a good enough tuner. Because, you know, I think you and I have talked about some of the, like, baseball diamond, you know, backstops that, you know, make a, if you tune it, it can propagate just fine, you know. And that's where earlier when you said, like, a proper spiderweb, you know, it's like, well, what? How do you define proper? You know, if it works, I guess if it's well-designed, you know, but inefficient. I guess that's proper. But I don't know. Cool. That sounds interesting.
So I was saying that it's not a proper spiderweb antenna because a spiderweb antenna is an actual design style of one. It's not a bunch of dipoles stacked on top of each other. The dipoles stacked on top of each other has a different name. I don't know it, but it just looked like a spiderweb from a distance when I was seeing his hand drawing of it. The spiderweb style has a lot more active elements than I didn't think I could actually... The few times I've seen those, I don't think I could follow them too well. But yeah, there's different antenna designs we were talking about. I mentioned about when I get my own place, throwing a dipole up in the attic probably, just because that's the easiest antenna that you don't have to worry too much about.
Gotcha. Well, you had my curiosity, and I went ahead and searched it, and it might be called a cobweb antenna, but that's a really cool design. Maybe it's different, but I see the concept of it. And that's very interesting. I like that. That seems like an efficient use of space, and, you know, that'd be good for a backyard antenna, actually, at my house. So,
Well, I'll have to get inside a bit. I will talk to you again a little bit later after I find food and find the restroom. I feel like my back teeth are floating.
All right, well, you know you could have gone to the bathroom there, I'm sure. All right, well, have a good one, 73. I'm glad today went well. K-E-A-W-U-O.
I'm not through my call right now, as I mentioned, but Kilo 73 all.
KFA-DIC. KFA-DIC.